happy we're on. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Monday to you, everybody. Happy Monday, John. How you living, brother?
I am fantastic. Great weekend, great fun, and a little more hop in the step today. We'll get to that, I'm sure, just because of it's football season.
See,
Aesop type of hop.
Don't do that.
Oh God, not the wobble hop like Aesop. But that was
a hell of a hop, man.
Dude, he couldn't even touch that leg on the ground. He could not touch that leg.
It looked like he had a broomstick in the in the pants leg.
Figgy's here. Figgy's here.
With an unusual negativity to start the show as well. You didn't have to do it. You could have let
Aesop
us. You could have let us have our pleasantries to begin the show first. Like talk about the weekend. How you living? Are you
tell
still
you right now? Figgy had a good weekend.
You know, I get good or bad. I don't know. One of those
came in guns blazing.
Was extreme.
Yeah.
On either end of this situation. How was your weekend? 713-572-4610 is the number to text into. I always appreciate you getting involved with the program. Also appreciate the Mokarem Injury Lawyers for the live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch chat, 610 Houston. Those are ways to get involved with the program, and we very much appreciate you doing that. How are you feeling about the Astros right now? Because, again, another one hits, as you mentioned, Fig. Isak Paredes. Comes up limp, and he's trying to make his way to first base. Through an interpreter, he let it be known that not only, like, you know, obviously we saw that it was the hamstring that he was clutching at. Very quick conversation at first base before he is pulled from the game. And it's always very instructive the way that the Astros talk about an injury, whether or not you actually believe that they are spot on what the injury is. I think that, you know, maybe there's a force multiplier that you have. And it's like, if at least they come out here and they say, nah, we're going to keep him with the team and then we'll see what it looks like over the next couple of days. You're like, it might be something, but at least it's not, you know, it's not fall off the bone. Yeah. This is one of those where it was immediately, oh, no, this is an issue. He's going on the IL. He's on the 10-day IL as of right now. And Isak, through an interpreter after the game, was making it clear that this one was a little bit more serious than the last time he had a hamstring on the other side. Now, interpreters make this a little difficult. Mm-hmm. At one point, it was making it seem like, hey, you know, he was kind of overcompensating for the last hamstring on one side, which then maybe made him injure the other one. I don't know if that's fully what actually happened, but we end up with, I would say, the biggest bat in your lineup at this moment, now going to the IL. And I think this is the way that you put it that I find it interesting. Are the Astros scooping water out of a boat with a thimble?
Yeah, that's how I felt about it. Are they scooping water out of a boat with a thimble? You know, you're taking on water.
Not even a cup?
No, just a thimble. A little bit of thimble. Let's see if we can get this and catch up. You're never going to catch up. And I kind of giggled there for a second because Isak didn't even allow the Astros to say, hamstring tightness. No, he said, this is bad, man.
I need y'all to understand.
He goes, I want
don't get out
to
here speculating on me.
This is bad. No, brother.
You will not see me in a little bit.
It was so funny. He didn't even let the Astros, and they're probably like mad because they were going to say something like, you know, hamstring tightness or something. He's like,
That brother said, I'm going to November.
He goes, this thing is ripped.
We laughed to keep from crying, man.
That's why I was giggling. I was like, yeah, he didn't even let him have that. But you mentioned the word that came to mind to me as well. Not just are they scooping water out of a boat with a thimble, but overcompensating. That's a real thing. We all know it. We've heard doctors, orthopedic surgeons, athletic trainers talk about how that is a common thing. When one thing, whether it's your right or left, goes, then you compensate with the other side. All of a sudden, boom, something happens there. I just feel like that has to be something. And, oh, guess what? Speaks to just, once again, it speaks to, what do they call it? Return to play. You know,
dude.
It was a month ago.
So you're inclined,
about 3 days.
You're inclined to tie this back to the return to play. Because I know, look, just generally, the vibes when it comes to Astros injury apparatus, like health care for their players apparatus, not great, Bob, right? Like we do not have a lot of faith in I don't know if it's the medical staff or the handling of the front office. I can't pinpoint that, and so I don't want to be build up a boogeyman at this moment. But you're willing to tie this one back, or are you just like, hey, this is the luck that this team has had?
I'm not gonna tie it back. I can't form that opinion because this happens to a lot of people. I just mentioned it all the time. What I am saying is, it's just another bad look. It looks bad. It may be pure coincidence, And 9 times out of 10, it probably is because of the overcompensation, like we talked about, et cetera. It just looks bad. And the weekend that was, I think I also called it a bad news, good news kind of weekend. It was bad news by this. It was bad news, Brendan Rodgers, nasal fracture.
Dog.
I mean, that's a second baseman that they were counting on at the beginning of the year and they're probably going to count on at some level again.
I don't know how much I wanted to count on him again. I get it. But because, I mean, the bat just did not come along for him.
Right, right. Bad news. And then the bad news is you go into Seattle and you lose some game. You lose the series.
Yes.
The good news, you did manage to pull one out here yesterday.
Did you pull one out, 11 unanswered runs.
Yeah,
like,
that was great.
That was the kind of good news that I specifically needed. Mm-hmm. I mean, you couldn't stand a sweep to the Seattle Mariners.
2-game lead, man?
Yeah, a 2-game lead, especially when you add another injury, one to a major player. And then also just another instance of, like, I think you've called it grit, mm-hmm. culture, whatever you want to talk that about the Astros, you know, the way that they have found a resilience in the face of adversity.
Yeah.
That stance against the adversity was necessary for my mental health. I don't know how much that means in that clubhouse. I can't speak to that.
Yeah.
But I imagine that's something like, hey, this is not going to be the one that sinks us, even though I'm not certain that that's the case. Like, at least the idea that this team continues to fight, that you're finding offense from every which, you know, way that you need in order to get a win against Wu is not a bad pitcher. It was just an all-star. Huh. Right? Like, that might be their best pitcher that they were able to, you know, even go down 3-0 to and then ultimately find 11 runs. So it was a moral victory, even though, you know, moral victories don't really count in a lot of people's imagination. I did like that, but no, you're not wrong. There was a lot of bad on the weekend before that win.
Yeah, for the record, I was right there with Sean Pendergast's tweet that got some run yesterday. I thought it was a wrap. I thought it was a wrap when they were down 3-0 and Wu was on the on the mound because he is that good and he looked that good. Obviously, Hunter Brown looked good for a couple of innings, maybe three. And then all of a sudden that started to go. But Wu is the real deal. I thought it was a wrap. The Astros came back. Shout out to Christian Walker. Really got it going with a no-doubt home run. And then they just kind of piled on from there. But as much as that's a good thing, and we just mentioned it, that was the good part of the bad weekend. It did lead, you know, you had three bad things happen before that. You have an IL list that looks like the second or third best team in the division.
16 on the IL, 5 of them were your starters at the beginning of the year.
So
thank you, Chandler.
Back to the first question. As much as, okay, you salvaged something, you didn't go down, your lead didn't go down to 2 games, it's still at 4. Is that masking things? Is it water with a thimble out of the boat? You know, I mean,
do you mean? Is that just off of the 10 days of the IL, right? Yeah. That I imagine is retrospective to the 19th when the injury happened. Mm-hmm. When the injury happens, that takes you till when? You add 10 days to the 19th.
Yeah, 29th.
We are at the trade deadline, baby. Like, is this now another thing that you maybe need to try and address at the trade deadline?
Mm-hmm.
That is gargantuan when you talk about the fact that I think it was, oh my goodness, who was it from The Athletic? Was it Jim Bowden of The Athletic talking about what all the 30 teams, you know, what their perspectives are heading into the trade deadline? And for the Astros, he has. They have made it very apparent that they want to get a move done, but it'll be for one of a left-handed bat or a starting pitcher and not both.
Yeah.
What happens now if you're looking at, actually, we might need another infielder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, you absolutely do. I mean, he's going to be out at month at minimum, right? Minimum.
I don't know how to set minimums on injury return from this team.
I don't even know if I buy that, man. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if
Eight weeks.
Don't be surprised if Dana Brown come out here talking about, so be about maybe a week or two.
Yeah, but I'm. No.
Let's put him on the 10-day IL list.
Dana Brown can say whatever he wants. I think the reality is we cannot expect to see Isak Paredes until at least a month. Would you disagree with that?
Probably not, because we're also talking soft tissue, like hamstring. For some reason, when I see hamstring form, when I saw that play, the one that came to mind cross sport is Nico Collins, you know, on the, what was that, 60, 70 some yard touchdown pass that he caught, where you see him pull up and you see him grab at that hamstring, and I immediately think, oh, he was gone for 5 weeks after that.
Yeah.
What is that, 4 or 5 weeks? You know, that ends up in about a month. And yes, those sports are not exactly the same, but man, it immediately made me think of that. And I don't know. One of the things it made me think of was I was very happy that Christian Walker was the one who went yard, in addition to the fact that they are on the road in Arizona or the greater Arizona Phoenix area today through Wednesday. Because if there was ever a time to try and jumpstart Christian Walker, this is it. Hey, dog, all the other dudes who can like be the leader of this conga line, the tip of this spear, all them dudes are sitting down right now. And so this is nut up time, dog. Mm-hmm. Like this is the time for you to find yourself, because that, I mean, you mentioned it. When will we finally come down on Christian Walker for having a substandard, subpar numbers and offense? It feels like this is it.
Yeah,
if you can't, you know, with the leadership that you came in with all the time that we've had, I understand it is tough. There's, you know, it is tough to find yourself in a new place. It's tough to break out of a funk, so to say. Just a sporadic home run here, there's not going to do it.
No.
You need to lead the line, dog.
You do. And, you know, what does it do now in terms of priorities on the trade deadline? Because I feel like all of a sudden that left-handed bat and an infielder it trumps everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, heaven forbid, I jinx him here. But right now, Mauricio Dubon is probably the most important player on the team because he can do so many different things. And it gives
we got
you,
some wood to knock on.
I know, and it gives you flexibility. It gives you flexibility at third base, but you can't make a living, you know, with just mixing and matching at third base with, you know, 4A players, guys just called up, et cetera.
Shane Whitcomb,
yeah,
and such.
All that. You can't make a living doing that.
Are you at a place where you start thinking about doing the musical chairs that we had once talked about relatively unseriously? Of Cam Smith, who, I mean, it did warm my heart to see him leading off last couple of days. Like, that did make me kind of smile because I heard the guys on Pain and Pancreas this morning with B. Scott, obviously, in for Seth, kind of waxing poetic about the how correct that decision was to start him at the major league level breaking camp. And now you have this robust dude who is capable of doing this and leading off your team and having that level of magnitude.
Yeah.
Is there anything within you that goes, he played third base, maybe move him back just because of the necessity, or especially with the return of Chaz McCormick?
Yeah. Last time you brought this up, I said no. You know, I'm starting to waffle on that.
Oh, goodness.
Are you?
I don't know. No.
But look at the especially with Christian Walker, somewhat unpredictable.
I mean, as evidence, like they might be forcing themselves into the space, just speaking to the idea of, like, you know, scooping with a thimble, trying to, you know, empty water out of a boat. They brought in Zach Short mere hours after, you know, ruling him out due to, you know, the taking, what was it, 97 off the ribs? Like, they've already had to do some pretty drastic things. Like, at what point do you get to drastic measures like that? I don't know. From the 281, Bryce Matthews and Uyola. Need to be on the trade block if we're going to be serious contenders in these playoffs. That's from Mikey and Humble. I'm starting to get to that place where I was very much somebody who, as much as you can, I understand, look, prospects are not as valuable as sometimes we seem to make them.
Yeah.
But you still need to have someone on the farm. At this point, you are the walking dead, man.
Yeah,
And we were already wondering how long you can carry this. I do wonder how much this Mariners thing is about the Mariners being good, or how much of this is just, you know, you're going to have the bounce back from not losing any of these series for like a month and a half to ultimately maybe you're going to lose a couple series. But how much of this is also just finally you're not going to be able to just carry this thing out by duct tape and all this thing together?
Yeah, we have reached that point where you're going to have to start doing some things that are maybe a little bit unorthodox.
Well, the Astros on the road in Arizona to take on the Diamondbacks again. Hopefully the familiar confines of Chase Stadium get our guy Christian Walker going, because that'd be very much needed after Isak Paredes goes to the 10-day IL. You got Colton Gordon on the mound for your Astros today. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, just getting going on a Monday. Coming up next, obviously, I think we have a good grasp on what the major kind of storylines, talking points, questions need to be answered are for the Texans during training camp, which starts on Wednesday. But I kind of have some less prominent questions that I want to run by you for training camp. Tell me if you agree with these. 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next.